not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. Today, God is going to ask each of us to do the impossible. Impossible in our own human strength and abilities. He is asking us to love each other, to love all others in our actions and reactions with his agape, divine love. When we are born again, God gives us brotherly love, Philadelphia for each other, affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and concern for the unsaved. We no longer live selfish or self-centered lives, but brotherly love has its limits. It is an emotion that can change with circumstances. Agape love, God's divine love, is not an emotion. It is an action. It is loving others with godly actions and reactions, even and especially when they do something we do not like. My husband, for no reason, gets angry at me and says hurtful things. My brotherly love goes out the window. I have a choice: react in my anger, in my flesh, or choose to obey the Bible and, with the Holy Spirit's help, respond with agape love, not in anger, but with self-control and humility. Agape love is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Word, the Bible. Today, Peter is going to show us that it's only by forsaking our sins and devouring God's Word, and I might also add by constant prayer, that we can grow and mature in our actions and reactions as Christians. Let's start by reading chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Here we come to the first requirement for growth in our Christian life: abandoning sin. Abandoning sins. First one starts off with the word therefore. It is there for a reason. It connects back to something, to previous scripture. In this case, therefore refers back to verses 22 through 25 of chapter 1. Back to Peter teaching about the living word, which abides forever, to the gospel that produced a new birth in each one of us. As we learned last week, God's word is incorruptible or unperishable. It lasts forever. It does not change. It does not rot or decay. If we want to see permanent change in our character and actions, there is only one place permanent change comes from: from the powerful, everlasting Word of God. Think for a moment about the most ungodly person you know who, against all earthly hope, got saved. Think of Paul, the persecutor, executor of Christians. I myself was an atheist and very ungodly. What power it takes to bring about salvation and a new birth. What mighty power of the gospel, heard and obeyed, bringing repentance and belief, a new birth, lasting transformation. Peter, in verse 25 of chapter 1, connects God's powerful eternal word with chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He writes in verse 25 of chapter 1, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Therefore is there for a strong reminder from Peter of the everlasting effects of God's word, the Bible. Therefore, since we have been powerfully born again by God's mighty word, this imperishable word is the only source for our continual spiritual transformation and growth in our lives. Now, notice carefully that striving to eliminate sins from our lives is closely linked to a desire for God's word, the Bible. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, desire the pure milk of the word. First, we must choose to lay aside our sins. Then we will desire to read the Bible and, more importantly, obey the Bible. Clinging to sins keeps us away from God, away from God's word, and away from it penetrating our hearts when we do read it. In verse 1, the term laying aside has the idea in the Greek of stripping off soiled garments. You must first want to strip off the dirty, sinful clothes before you are willing to put on the clean, righteous clothes. Paul used this same Greek word for laying aside in Ephesians chapter 4 when he states, put off, or lay aside, same word, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind through reading the Bible, putting on the new man which was created by God in true righteousness and holiness. The order is always first lay aside or put off sins, then put on the word and holiness. Notice we are to lay aside our sins. Even after being born again, our sinful actions do not drop off. How many say amen to that? Right? I know. They don't drop off. The Lord does not take them away from us, but he does give us the ability to lay them aside. It's a choice. It's our choice. In the Greek, the word lay aside has great force. These words, lay aside, they are in the aorist tense and mean an act done all at once, not in a gradual process. It has the idea of throwing off your clothes fast, as if your garments are on fire. Since we have been transformed at our salvation, we are now to lay aside, throw off all sins now, at once, without delay. Pay attention to the word all in verse 1. It is used 3 times for emphasis. All malice, all deceit, all evil speaking. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something important. God wants us to put off all the sins of our former conduct now and put on his holiness. What sins have I not put off? Are there sins we have ignored, lived with, given up on removing? Let's look at the list in verse 1. The list begins with actions we are to throw off. These negative actions are the exact opposite of godly actions that display God's agape love to others. First, we are told to put off all malice. Now, malice is a general term for a desire to harm someone in some way, often out of anger. A general term for a desire to harm someone in some way, often out of anger. Malice is also called evil doing, baseness, meanness, unkindness, lack of moral principles, bad character. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of bad character still in me. You would think as an older Christian, I wouldn't have so much. Some of my negative character qualities are so deeply cemented in me that God has had to use a jackhammer of fiery trials in order to break up my hard heart so I will deal with them. Most recently, it has been anger and unkindness. In today's climate, with everything that's going on with COVID-19 and politics, it's been easy for me to have strong opinions and strong emotions, which unfortunately have resulted in bad actions, in unkind words or argumentativeness, which cause division in the body of Christ and in relationships. God has showed me that he does not care about my opinions or me expressing them as much as he cares about my actions, specifically how I treat others I don't agree with. I can disagree without being disagreeable. I could disagree without being disagreeable. Unfortunately, I have been disagreeable, and for that, I am deeply sorry. I have learned that keeping silent, which promotes unity between Christians and also between husbands and wives, is often a much better choice than speaking. Unity in the body of Christ is what Christ died for, what he gained victory for. In verse 5 of this chapter, we are called to be living stones, united in Christ, each of us cemented together in love. We are being built into his spiritual temple, which he inhabits. All of us serving together to bring glory and honor to the Lord, to our Lord. We should never let the temporal things of this world, be it COVID, be it politics, be it anything else, bring division among Christians and the body of Christ. Back to verse 1. What else are we told to lay aside or put off? All deceit. Deceit, in simple terms, is when we intentionally mislead another person or persons for our own gain. It is the opposite of truthfulness, which we are all called to as followers of Jesus, Jesus who is the truth. Satan, the opposite, is a liar. The question is, are we deceitful? Do you or I intentionally mislead people for our own gain? Maybe we let our husbands think one thing when we are actually doing another. He thinks I went to lunch with my girlfriends at work when I actually went to lunch with a male coworker. He thinks I spent all the money on groceries, but I actually gambled some of it away on lottery tickets or bought clothes or shopped on QVC. He thinks I stopped taking those pain pills, but I actually got another prescription and are taking more. It could be I'm taking an extra 20 minutes on my lunch break today. Nobody will know at work. They'll just think that I left for my break late. Have you been deceitfully hiding from others where you are going, what you are doing, what you are watching or reading or engaging in online, on social media? My dear sisters, we must eliminate all deceit, all dishonesty, all betrayal of trust and falsehood in our lives. Deceit can start out small and end up in full-blown sin, end up in committing adultery or fornication, or having a drug or alcohol addiction, gambling, shopping, pornography. A little leaven unchecked will leaven the whole lump. We must put off, rip off like a burning garment, all deceit. Jesus is our clear example. In verse 22 of this chapter, we are told about him who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Now, thirdly, we are told to put off hypocrisy. This word in the Greek means to act a part, to pretend to be something we are not. Do you or I act a part, play a part, act the part of being the committed Christian when we really are not? Are we pretending to be righteous, to be living right, when we are hiding or clinging to unconfessed sins in our lives, to malice, to anger, unforgiveness, deceit? Jesus had strong words for such actions. In Matthew 23:27, to the outwardly religious of his day, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." Ladies, we must lay aside all hypocrisy. We must not be actors or women of guile, like beautifully painted coffins, hiding the sins in our hearts and our lives, while at the same time putting on a false front of righteousness. Lastly, in our list, we are to lay aside all envy and evil speaking. Envy is deep discontentment or jealousy when another person has what we want or what we think we deserve. A job, a position, recognition, favor, possessions, power. Joseph's brothers envied the favor their father Jacob gave to Joseph, and they sold him into slavery. Aaron and Miriam were envious of Moses' power and authority and tried to usurp and rebel against his authority. In Matthew 27:18, we are told the Jewish leaders sought to put Jesus to death because of envy. Envy destroys friendships. Families, churches, workplaces, our own Christian witness. Envy makes us think more of ourselves than others. It is a cancer that must be cut out completely. Envy will inevitably lead to evil speaking, gossip, slander. Anytime we speak negatively about a person we know personally, when they are not present, we are evil speaking, gossiping, and causing them great harm in the eyes of those who hear us. We taint the reputation of that person. This cannot be quickly undone. We must remember that the Bible specifically states that if we have an issue with someone personally, if we have been wronged or sinned against, the first thing we are to do is go to them directly, alone, and speak to them in love. We do not go and tell others about them. This prevents evil speaking and gossip. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. All Christians, as Christians, we are instructed to strip off, like clothes on fire, all envy, all evil speaking, along with all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy. Beloved sisters, we will not be perfect at this. Significant change does not come easily. We will fail at times. There is no perfection until heaven. I love Proverbs 24:16. A righteous woman may fall seven times, and I might add in my case 7,000 times, but she rises again. You and I must not give up ridding our lives of sins. If we do, we stop growing. We become stagnant, hardened, less usable and effective servants and witnesses for Christ. Remember Paul's words in Philippians 3:13? Sister, and I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Lasting changes in our character and actions, our upward call in Christ, require discipline, effort, and sacrifice. We must press into God and His Word, praying, yielding, obeying. Now in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, we are told, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. This is the second requirement for growth in our Christian lives. First, we must abandon or lay aside our sins. Secondly, we must desire to read the Bible. That word desire in the Greek is the Greek word epipatheo. It means to yearn for, to intensely crave possession, to long after. That single and dominant desire a newborn baby has for their mother's milk, think about 2 a.m. feedings, is the same longing we need to have for ingesting the Bible. We need God's transforming word as badly as a baby needs milk to grow and thrive. The question is, do you, do I, crave God's Word, the Bible? Like a newborn baby craves milk daily, repeatedly? If not, why not? What has dulled my appetite, your appetite? Sins we live with? That we have given up on dealing with? Maybe your appetite is dulled for the Bible because you are feeding on a steady diet of junk food that this world offers, spending your limited time on your smartphone. I heard recently that the average person checks their smartphone every 12 minutes and spends 80 minutes on it a day, reading online information, Facebook, Twitter. This does not account for the time we spend watching TV each day. How long and how many times a day do we check our Bibles? The internet, smartphones, watching secular TV programs, the news, all amplify what the world thinks is important. Reading the Bible amplifies, magnifies, enlarges what God says is important. Luke 4:4, Jesus tells us, man or woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is only, exclusively, by the pure milk of the Bible that we are nourished, empowered, and transformed for our daily upward call. Desire, crave the pure milk of God's Word to grow thereby. Let's pull out the list that you're given of what the Word is and does. It's on the first page, what the Word is and does. I put this list together several years ago. I want to read it together to help whet our appetites for reading our Bibles more often. Okay? Okay, so let's begin with number one. It is right. Just repeat after me. It is right. Say it with me. It is truth. It endures forever. It is a shield. It never fails. It comes to pass. It is the word of the Lord. It is tried and proven. Not one word has failed. It is fulfilled by the Lord. By it, we are kept away from the path of the destroyer. Until it comes to pass, it tries and tests our faith. It heals. It delivers from destruction. It cleanses. It keeps us from sin. It gives life. It comforts. It promises. It instructs us in righteousness. It is a hammer that breaks. It builds faith. It is our source of hope. It is our hiding place. It directs our steps. It revives. It brings joy. It is the source of understanding. It is living and powerful. It is a sword. It cuts to the depths of our mind, heart, and motives. It is our defensive and offensive weapon. It exhorts. It convicts. It convinces. It rebukes. It causes spiritual growth. It brings salvation. It is prophetic. It brings patience. It makes the simple wise. It nourishes. It gives great peace. It delights. It brings confession. It causes worship. It washes. It sanctifies. It reveals Jesus. Isn't the Word of God awesome? Lord, please, let's let the Lord help us to crave it more than the air that we breathe. In closing, I want to encourage each of you to read the put on, put off list at home. See, as I did, if there are neglected sins to be put off, to be thrown off. Look at the corresponding Bible scriptures on what to put on instead. Meditate on these scriptures, on these verses. Memorize them. Yield to them. Let's let God's powerful, everlasting word change us permanently. Let's let God do the impossible in us by making us vessels of his agape love in our actions and reactions to all those around us. Let's pray.